Mishkanim. Okay. Shkolim Dav Dalet. That is today's Tachlis. Okay, we are starting with the bottom of Gimel Mabez, where it says Halacha Dalet, Masnisen. We'll start with the Mishnah. The previous Mishnah spoke about who is Chayiv in, sorry to discuss who is Chayiv in Shkolim, and we're going to, this Mishnah relates back to what was discussed yesterday. Afal pi sha'amru ein mamashkinin nashim avadim muktanim avalim shaklu makablin miyadon. Even though we had said earlier that if women and avadim and ketanim do not pay, we don't go and take a collateral from them. After all, they're not chayavos. They're not chayavos. We're not going to go and take things from them until they give. Or that's what it says that that Bezdin does later on. As it says on the third line of the previous Mishnah, once they went into the Beis HaMikdash on the 25th, so then they started to take Mashkonim. So even though they don't take Mashkonim from Nashav Adav Ketanim, does not mean that they're totally rejected from the Halacha. But if they do take, if they do give Shkalim, let's say a woman wants to give a Machzis HaShekel, if a Katan wants to give a Machzis HaShekel, we do accept it. What about, isn't this Shkalim for the census? How can we accept it if it's not if we needed an exact number? So that's what we discussed in the first half in Shkalim, that there are three different trumos that are going on. The trumos adonim has to be exact, and that's what we don't allow to be added on. But the matzah zashekel is for the, everybody has to give an equal amount, so no matter what you give, it has to be equal, but that's not exactly used for the census, and that's for the karbanos, so that is why there is more flexibility, and even if one is not chayav in it, we would accept it. Just 2 points on this line. What type of... the Minchas Chinuch raises the question. He doesn't really answer it. Here's the question that we know here that... let's say a man, if a man is chayiv, he doesn't pay. So Bezdin goes into his house and takes his shirt and takes his chair until he pays. He's mamashke. What type of chayiv exactly is that? Is that a real shibud? Like there are others, there are shibudim, like if I owe you money and I don't pay you, so Bezdin has the right to go and foreclose on certain properties of mine and take things, and it's like a regular shibud. It's a regular owing. Instead of owing to a person, you owe to the Beis HaMikdash. Or is this more of a general kofin al mitzvah saseh? We know Bezdin, when we have a Bezdin, Bezdin has the right to go and force people to do mitzvah saseh. By low saseh, there are punishments. But if you don't do a mitzvah saseh, so what's the punishment? So Bezdin can't punish you. There is no punishment for a bittul saseh. But Bezdin can force you. Kofinal mitzvah, lulav kofinal, different mitzvahs force you to do a mitzvah. So the Minchas Chinuch has a suffix. What exactly is this mamashkinin? Is this a shibud? Or is this kofinal mitzvah saseh? Umisupagani, this is in mitzvah kofhei. Imzek achoch v'yeshil av shibud achasam gam kein. Oh, or do you say that no? The ain't love shibud achasim. Kamo ribis. There's no shibud achasim. It's similar to ribis. Ribis is not a shibud on the property, but ribis is just something that you're not allowed to do. And Bezdin could force you to give it back. Well, my nafkamina, what's the difference? Let's say the person dies. Does Bezdin go and collect from his yarshim? So if it's a shibud that the person owes the Beis HaMikdash, like he owes somebody else, then Bezdin goes to the Yarshim. If Reuven owes $100, and then Reuven dies, his kids have to pay the person he owes $100. So too, if this is a real shibud to the Beis HaMikdash, if the person dies, and he owes this, and he's already alive at the time that the chiyuv kicks it, then his kids have to pay. Mashiach, if it's just a mitzvah saseh, you're not kofin on mitzvah saseh for the children. Children don't have to worry. Don't have to pay. So therefore, so too, if it's similar to ribbis. By ribbis, the chiv of ribbis doesn't pass on to the children. If Reuven lends money with ribbis, then Reuven dies. The children don't have to pay back the ribbis. That's lekuli alma, says the Gemara b'Metzia. Or let's say it's shelo b'fanav. The person is not there. Shelo b'fanav. We're not kofin al mitzvah saseh if the person is not there. If he's on a trip. By shibudim, we do shelo b'fanav. So the two nafkaminas, what type of chiv this is? Is it like any a general chov? A shibud, or is it similar to any kfiya forcing on mitzvah saseh? That's 1 point on the Mishnah. A second point on the Mishnah is related to nashim, and that is the Mishnah assumes that women are pturos from paying the matzah shekel. There's a question: why women are pturos from paying the matzah shekel? Doesn't is this a zman grama? You do have to pay it at a certain time, but it's really linked to the karbanos. So is this a zman grama or not? That's a machlokas rishonim. The Meiri says that the reason why women are pturos are mitzvah saseh zman grama. And that's why, according to the Meiri, it would explain also why shkalim is in seder moed and not in seder kachim, an issue that we discussed at the beginning of the Pesachta. Right, shkalim seems more have to do with seder kachim, but if it's linked to a specific time of year, as we know, it is linked, But the question is that a zman, really a zman grama? Says the Meiri, yes. Other mafarshim, the Rav, the Bartanura on our Mishnah quotes a pasuk. It says ish kofer nafsho. It's the beginning of in the pesukim of Kisisa. Ish kofer nafsho prale isha. Ish lahutzi isha. So at least he assumes, but it's important what not only what he says, but what he doesn't say. So it's not clear if this is a zman grama. Again, a zman grama doesn't only mean if it's bound by time, but the zman has to be goreim the mitzvah. There's a big discussion we had a couple of years ago about Sfiras HaOmer. There's a Ramban in Kiddushin that says Sfiras HaOmer is not a mitzvah as Eish Zman Grama. There's a lot written, why is that? There's a Reb Chaim that says it can't be, it's a Tao Sofer. Reb Chaim says it said Samach Hei. People thought it was Sfiras HaOmer, but it's really Sfiras Zava. Of course Sfiras HaOmer is a Zman Grama. You don't have any Zman Grama more than Sfiras HaOmer. Of course it's a Zman Grama. Why wouldn't it be a Zman Grama? So there are some Achronim, Reb Yochanan Fischer Perlow suggests, then maybe a mitzvah says my grandma doesn't mean that it's bound by time. Well, let's say it this way. Some people give the answer for the Ramban is that it's not caused by time. It's really caused by the carbon. It's going to link to the carbon, which happens to be in a specific time, but that's indirect. So it's not really a direct Zman Grama. But other Mefarshim say, that Rabbi Yochanan Fischer Perlow suggests, that no, a mitzvah says Zman Grama means that something exists the whole year, yet, only at this time of year it's a mitzvah. For example, a lulav. I can have a lulav today, a physical lulav today. It's not a mitzvah to shake it today. Once it's sukkahs, so then it's a mitzvah to shake it. That's a mitzvah zaseisha, zman grama. The zman is grama, that it's a mitzvah. But, says Rabbi Yochanan Fischer Perlow, if the zman is goreim for the item to exist, not the zman is goreim for the mitzvah, item to be a mitzvah. If the zman is goreim for the item to exist, for example, he says Kiddush Levana. Some say that Kiddush Levana is not a Zman Grama. Why is it Kiddush Levana a Zman Grama? You can only do it in the first half of the month. No, it's not that there's a mitzvah only in the first half of the month. There's a mitzvah when the moon's getting bigger. The only time the moon's getting bigger is in the first half of the month. But that's not a Zman Grama. Whenever the moon's getting bigger, there's a mitzvah to do Kiddush Levana. But it's not that the Zman is growing the mitzvah. The Zman is growing the mitzias. The Zman is growing the mitzias. That's not called a mitzvah sasesh Zman Grama. So he suggests the same thing with the Ramban. The mitzvah is to count for Pesach to Shavuos. If it's not between Pesach and Shavuos, the mitzvah doesn't exist. It's not that it's a mitzvah to count days. And it happens to be that mitzvah exists during between Pesach and Shavuos. So it's not always. So that's how he suggests why Sfiras HaOmer is not a Zman Grama. In any case, there is a big issue, this is just an example, whether something is a Zman Grama or not. Machzis HaShekel is another example of that. Whether the tour of women, the women are potter, that's for sure. The question is, why are they potter? Is it because of Zman Grama or not? L'may nafkamina, women are potter. So there's a big discussion. This is a tshuva of the Psamim Rosh. Unclear who wrote the Psamim Rosh. Some say it was written by an authoritative posig. Some say not. It was an early tshuva. It was originally attributed to the Rosh, but it seems later that it was not the Rosh, but it was quoted by Rabbi Kiva Eiger and others. They took it as authoritative. And that is women davening Musaf. Women davening Musaf. Says the tshuva of the Besamim Rosh, and there's a tshuva I have at Rabbi Kiva Eiger and Siman Tes, that women don't have to daven Musaf. Big nafkamina. Let's say women come late to shul, and they're trying to catch up. So let's say, you know, the kihil is up to Musaf. Should they daven Musaf with the tzibur? Because it's tefillah b'tzibur, and then daven shachris later? Is it, should they have to daven Musaf in the afternoon if they missed it in the morning? A Reuben chayav us in tefillahs Musaf. Says the Besamim Rosh, no, they're pturos. Why are they potter? Says Rabbi Kiva Eiger, they're potter. Why? Because they're pturos from Machzis HaShekel. Machzis HaShekel is used to support and provide the carbon at Sibur. So if they're, what's the carbon at Sibur? Musaf. So says Rabbi Kiva Eiger, says the Psamim Rosh, because they're pturos from Machzis HaShekel, therefore they're not to daven Musaf. That's the Shita of Rabbi Kiva Eiger. And the big kasha, one of the big kashas in this Shita is carbon tamid. Okay, carbon tamid is one, but that's shachris. But that might be, there's another element by shachris and minko, rachmininu. So the Gemara already says in Brachas that because tefillah is rachamim, so that's why even though it's a Zman Grama, they might have to do it. Musaf is in rachamim. You're not asking for anything by Musaf. That's totally just parallel to the carbon. But that's the other kasha. Oh, you're telling me that all people who are pturos don't have to daven Musaf? So anybody here a Kohen or a Levi? Right, they don't have to daven Musaf? Right, what if you hold, we're going to get to this a little bit later, some shitas of what a katan is for Machzis HaShekel is age 20. So if you're 18 years old, you don't have to daven Musaf? Because you might, according to some shittas, according to the, as we'll see, the chinuch, you don't have to get the Machzis HaShekel. So what are they talking about? Women don't have to daven Musaf because they're not tourists in the Machzis HaShekel. So ask Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan in the Bar Yitzchak. He says, "Atu karnival aviv b'ktanim p'chusim b'nasser b'yiftur b'musaf." It can't be. So what's the answer? These mafarshim, they argue. They say, no, what's the point? The point is that, yes, machzor shekel contributes to musaf, but it's not, it's still, it's not totally, you don't have the total connection. But the Amudei Or says, he has, Abayot Nilo Fina Starti, Da'avakav Shanashim, Loha Yishoklos, Bikamakam Mischaprim Hayu, Gamim Bechol Kabbalah Sibur. There's a kapara element to all Kabbalah Sibur. And all Kabbalah Sibur have this element which relates to all Klal Yisrael, even if they weren't Mechliyav and Machzor Shekel. So that's the big discussion in the, Rabbi Kivager. There's ways to defend Rabbi Kivager. The Stipler and Zvachim had a way to defend the Rabbi Kivager. Maybe there are different elements. Even Lishit Hasam, you can look at it in Siman Dalet in the Kilas Yaakov. But this is known as the Psalm and Rosh, Rabbi Kivager, and whether we hold like it or not. Yeah, Yisrael. If somebody b'mezid doesn't get Machzor Shekel, do they not get the kapara of the Seber? Good question. There being, well, the Rambam already said, the Rambam says that right in Hilchos Tshuva, that if you're poresh min hatzibur, it's one of the serious crimes in lechelok olam haba. There are many serious issues. So kapara of the Seber, I'd assume, yeah. So what do we pass on halach lamaisa? Are women pterus from musaf or chayavos? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlokas achronim siman kufav siv dalid. But you might say, okay, what's the big deal? Okay, the pterus, they want to do it. It's okay. Makes a big deal for svardim. Because by Svardim, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, by mitzvahs that they don't have to do, they're not allowed to make a bracha. If somebody has, a woman wants to shake a lulav. So if a woman's married to a Svardi, she can't make a bracha on the Tilas lulav. They can't make brachas. Look at Shuas of Rav Avadi Yosef. They skip half the brachas. They Pesukah de Zimra and Berachas HaShachar. Certain brachas, you have to go through each one, whether they're allowed to say or not. Because they're, again, and many of them, by certain Berachas HaMitzvah. So there are those that say this would be a big nafgamina. Others say the Slach says no, even according to the Shulchan Aruch this would be okay if they want to, because you don't say the word Bitzivanu. And that's the real problem with Berachas HaMitzvot. You can't say Bitzivanu if you're not Mitzuveh. So he suggests even according to the Shulchan Aruch, if they want to daven Musaf, they can. But it is an important issue whether women are Chayavos or Pturos. Maybe this would connect to davening Musaf. Okay, let us now continue with the Mishnah. Third line. Hanachri v'hakusi sheshaklu in mekalam yadon. So we said women avadim and ketanim, if they're shokel, you accept it from them. But nachrim and kusim, or kusim, sometimes kusi is used in a flexible way by the Gemara, but here it means actual kusim, who are the people who the king of Ashur, after he exiled a bunch of Jews from Yerushalayim, he put them into Eretz Yisrael in order to live there, and then there were lions sent, and they converted eventually out of fear. There's a major discussion in the Gemara in a number of places, in Gittin and elsewhere. We're going to talk about it here as well. Whether these were true Gerim or not. Whether Kusim or Geri MS or not. And we'll see. The Gemara is going to relate to this. Because again, it was originally out of fear. It was out of this, they're called Geri Arayos. Gerim of the Lions. So Anachri Vakusi Shashaklu. So the Pasha of the Mishnah is, if they want to give Shkalim, Ein Makalim Mehen, you do not accept Shkalim from them. Ve'ein Makablim Miyadam, Karni Zavim, Karni Zavos, V'kine Yodos, V'chatos, V'shamos. You also don't accept any Karbanos from them. Karni Zavim, that means birds that, if they were a Zava, if they were a woman who had a discharge for 3 days, or she's chayav to bring a karban, you don't accept those birds, v'kidei zavos, v'kidei yoldos, or birds that she's chayavos after she has a baby, v'chataos v'ashamos. We don't accept any animals or money for these animals from nachrim and kusim. And we will modify that when we get to the Gemara. Zeha klal, this is the rule. Kol she'nidav enidav mekavlin miyadam, v'chol she'enu nidav enidav en mekavlin miyadam. Anything that could be given as a neder or a nedava, a neder and nedava. Neder is focused on the person. I promise to give this. Nedava is focused on the animal. This animal is going to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says the difference is chefsa gavra. That's what the Gemara uses the language, chefsa gavra. What's the difference between a neder? It talks about neder and shvua, but related in this context, you can also relate it to nedava. Nedava is focused on the animal. A neder is focused on the person. So zeaklau, anything that's given as a voluntary karban, mekablin miyadam, that you're allowed to accept. So an Ola and a Shlamim, according to the opinion of our Mishnah, we accept from non-Jews. The Chol She'enu Nidav Eino Nidav, but something that they're obligated, a Chatas, an Asham, any obligatory Karbanos, in Mechamlam B'Yadam, we don't accept from them. We don't Paskin this way. We Paskin that we do accept Karbanos from non-Jews, but only Olos. Only Olos. Machlokas Tanam, we Paskin only Olos. The Bali Musar talk about this, how how the Am Yisrael believes in being Makadesh, the physical, and there could be a taroves between Kodesh and Chol. We could be Makadesh. That's what Karban Shlom symbolizes. Some you burn in the Mizbeach, some you give to the Kohen, some is owned by the Bailam. But Umas HaOlam and other religions, they can't fathom that. It's got that we only said Olos from them. That's the symbol of what they believe. Yeah, they believe in, you know, celibacy. They believe it to be very religious. You have to go and you can't talk and you can't have family life and you can't. Karban Ola, totally burned. That's the only, that symbolizes their Yahadus. But according to we believe in Shlomim. We believe in, be Mekadesh the Chomer. So that's why we pasken against this Mishnah. We pasken that we only accept Karban Olas from them. V'chema first had the Ezra. Also by Ezra it says, when they wanted to build Bayi Sheni and the Kusim wanted to join in, Shemar the Pasuk that they responded to them says, Lo lechem v'lanu livnos beis elokeinu. No, we're not in this together. We're not in this together. We're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Now we're going to get to the, in the Mefarshim, this is a totally second half of the Mishnah, which the Gemara will discuss afterwards. But we'll go straight. Elu shachayavin b'kalbon. The following people are chayavin kalbon. What's a kalbon? So, there's a machlokas hanom, which we're going to have. We'll mention it now to try to help understand. Kalbon is a little extra added onto your machzis ha-shekel. Everybody pays a little extra onto the machzis ha-shekel called the kalbon. Why do you pay it? So, it's a machlokas. According to Rabbi Meir, this is a din d'oraisa. It's a din d'oraisa. Everybody who gives a machzis ha-shekel has to pay a kalbon extra. Why? We're going to learn that from a pasuk. But according to the chachamim, according to what we pasken, it's not a din d'oraisa. But it's just that, usually, when I would go to a money changer, and let's say I give a seller, which is 2 shekels, and I want to get back 2 half shekels, so I can give a machzis ha-shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. So there's always a money changer's fee. I have to give a little extra in order he's doing me a service. So said Chazal, just like if you would go to a real money changer, you'd have to give the extra fee. So too, if 2 people are going to the Beis HaMikdash and not paying the money changer's fee, they're saving it because they're giving a sella. They're each giving, their own shekel, but they're bypassing any changing, so they have to pay as if it was a money changer. That was the takana. To save the money changer's fee, people who are saving the money for the money changer, if you give a plain machzis ha-shekel, you don't have to pay anything to the Beis HaMikdash. But if 2 people are joining in to give a whole shekel, 2 machzis ha-shekel, which is Chazal called a sela, so then they have to pay a kelbon, this little extra money, to parallel the money changer's fee that is being saved. As just like you give it to a hedyot, so too you give it to the Beis HaMikdash, this little extra fee called a kelbon, but it's a din d'rabanan. That is a machlokas tanoim about a kelbon. But says the Mishnah, you only have to pay a kelbon if you're obligated to pay machzis ha-shekel. So it says the elush chayvim b'kelbon. The following people are chayvim kelbon: Leviim, v'Yisraelim, v'Gerim, v'Avadim Shacharin. All these people are chayavos in the machzis ha-shekel. Abalo kohanim v'Nashim v'Avadim Muktanim. But not the Kohanim. Yesterday's Mishnah discussed Kohanim, whether they're Machlokas Tanoim, about whether they're obligated or not, whether the wrong drasha that they have connecting it to the Karban Mincha. But here it says Kohanim, we pastor are not obligated, but Nashim and women of Avadim Ktanim, though we accept from them, but they don't have to add on this extra fee because they make her a din pater. Hashokel al yidei Kohen, al yidei Isha, al yidei Eber, al yidei Katan pater. Also, if a man who's Chayiv is giving a shekel for them, also pater, because if the shekel's for them, then you go by their rules, their pater, so therefore, you don't have to add on the kelbo. Ve'im shakal al yado v'al yedecha v'ero, but if this is the main halach of kelbo, let's say you're giving a kelbon you're giving a shekel for you and your friend, so you're giving a whole sela, which is two, like what your chayiv and what your friend is chayiv, so then, chayiv v'kelbon echad, says the Chachamim, say the first shita of the Gemara, you have to pay 1 kelbon, because that's the money changer's fee. You're giving 1 whole coin, which really has 2 machzis ha-shekel in it, so this is the shita of the kelbon, is a didrabanan, and you have to pay 1 extra kelbon. Rabbi Meir Amar Beis Kelbonos. Now Rabbi Meir says 2 kelbonos, because Rabbi Meir said it's a din d'oraisa. Every person has to add on a little bit, this little kelbon, with their machzis ha-shekel. So therefore, when you do this, you have to pay 2 kelbonos. Continues the Mishnah. Hanosin sela v'notal shekel chayiv shnei kelbonos. If a person gives a sela, which is worth two shkalim, two machzor shekels, we say shekel, but really that's the machzor shekel. Because I don't know if we mentioned it yesterday, the machzor shekel at the time of the Gemara, what the coins were devalued since the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. So when the Gemara and the Mishnah say shkalim, it's really the value of the machzor shekel from the time of Moshe, but it just calls it a shekel. So not to get confused. But here, so when it says shekel here, that's the machzor shekel value that one has to give. So if somebody gives a sela, which is two shkalim, and he gets back a shekel, and he gives a dollar, he gets back 50 cents, right? So in that case, he's chayav two kobonos there. Who is this line according to? The Tanakama or Rabbi Meir? The Gemara will talk about it. So let's keep that on the back burner for a minute. Hashokel al yad ani v'al yad shcheino v'al yad ben iro, pater. If somebody gives a shekel for a poor person, for his neighbor, for his somebody from the city is potter, because he's doing the mitzvah of tzedakah. That's why he doesn't have to pay the kelbon. V'im hilvan, but if he's paying it for them as a loan, and they're going to pay back, so it's really their money. They're not doing it, he's not giving a shekel to somebody else, but it's as if they're giving it chayiv. His neighbor, they're all chayiv to give the machzor shekel. If he's doing them a favor, then we would say he's potter. But if he's actually giving it to them, and they're lending it to them, so then they would be chayiv to give the extra kalb. Is it a type of ribbis? First of all, it's the Torah's demanding it.
No, but in general, it's not because of the money changer.
The money changer's fee, that's, he's doing you a service. Why is that ribbis?
Well, they lend you money.
Okay, lending money is not a service. That's a high level. We've said that is a kind of, let's say, stucca. Like the Rambam says, the highest level, the number one out of eight levels of stucca is giving somebody a loan in order to get them back on their feet. So it is a kind of a level of stucca. It's not really a service so much. You're doing a mitzvah. So you're giving, but it's more of like a service. If somebody fixes something for you, if somebody, that it's over right now. It's over right now, and I'm paying for it right now. Right, so that's why it's, right, exactly. He's fixing your money. He's fixing your money, yeah. Right, you go into the store. If you would run it, you get a parking, you're in front of a store. And let's say they always get annoyed. You run into a store, you're not buying anything there. You just say, oh, can I have change? I need money to change for the meter. They give you the look, and they usually give it to you. But maybe one day they'll say, you know what? Give me an extra 25 cents. Because everybody always comes into, would that be ribbis? They're not lending you. They're not, I don't know if that would be ribbis. They're charging you for the service. You want change. You know, so it's interesting question. Okay, end of the Mishnah. If there are brothers that are partners, we'll talk about what exactly the case is on Amud Beis. Brothers / partners, shechayavin bekelbon, paturim mimaisa behema. In the case that brothers / partners have to pay a kelbon, they'll be putter from giving maiser behema. We'll see, there's an inverse relationship between the two. We'll have to see what the reasons are, but this the Gemara will discuss. Ukashachayavin b'maiser behema paturim b'kelbon. And when they have to pay maiser behema, so then they're putter from kelbon. Inverse relationship, what is exactly the case? We'll see in the Gemara. V'kamahu kelbon, ends off the Mishnah, how much is the kelbon? Ma'a kesa tiv Rabbi Meir, v'chamomim chatzi ma. Okay, different values of what the kelbon is. Gemara. Says the Gemara, if you look back at the first line of our Mishnah, so kelbon will come back on Amud Beis. Now back to the first half of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that even though we don't take mashkones from ketanim, from Nashu Avada b'ketanim, but if they do give, we accept it from them. So says the Gemara, each of those lines seems to be mashma something else. The second line said, if they bring it, we accept it. So avali shamer v'chulu halitzvoa ain't tovin. So if they bring it, they accept it mashma that we don't go and tovei it from them. If they bring it, we accept it. But hachat amar tovin. But the first line of the Mishnah is mashma we are tovei it, because what the first line say? We don't mashkone them. We don't take a collateral. What's the next level down? But we do ask them for it. So the first two lines of the Mishnah are associated with each other. The first line says, we don't take a mashko and mashma, we do ask them. The second line says, we accept it from them. The next line up from that is that we don't ask them. So do we ask tanim or not? V'achat amar ein tovin. Answers the Gemara, kan b'shehevi b'sairis, kan b'shelohevi b'sairis. It depends if they have brought symbols of maturity yet, shtei sairis. It was touched on yesterday, not mentioned it, I'm sure, in the Tikkun Chavitin, the three different levels of ages of what, at least according to one way of reading the Gemara, of Ketanim. The Tikkun Chavitin quoted that a Ketan that didn't bring Shtei Cyrus, you don't even ask for it, not Toveya, brought Shtei Cyrus, but is not 20 yet, we ask, but we don't take a mashkon from. 20 years of age, we already are mamashkein, and then they're really obligated. That really touches on a machlokas rishonim. What does the word katan mean in this context? Again, you have to rework the Gemaras based on each of the shittas. If you look at the Rambam, if you look at the Ramban, the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, they say, the Rambam says, I don't know if the Rambam here, the Rambam just says katan, without many making any chilukim. Which is mashma that it's 13. It doesn't specify anything else. According to the Rambam, it sounds like regular age 13, just like by all mitzvahs. There are, though, the Ramban discusses this, and the Sefer HaChinuch holds this way, Lamaisa, age 20. Age 20 is the cutoff point for the chiyuv of Shkolim. So the Machlokas, we've shown him about that. The Rav Bartanura quotes age 20. This is a Machlokas. But at least, let's say, according to the Rambam, age 13 is when it all starts. We might even be Mamashkein. Then. So the question though is, what does the Mishnah say? Even before a katan is chayiv, we accept it from him. So there isn't the question asked by the Ksos, a question asked by the Shar HaMelech. And that is, we know a katan, it's impossible for a katan to be makne. Sometimes a katan can get an item, mida oraisa. Right? That's called das acheres makne. If I give something to a katan, maybe even on a daraisa level, according to some Rishonim, that will work. But it's impossible for a katan, mita arisa, to give something. Let's say on the first day of Sukkot, I have a lulav, I shook my lulav, so now I'm going to give it to my son, who's a katan. I could give it to him, but I can't get it back. Because a katan can be kona, but he can't be makna mita arisa. That's what the poskim say, you shouldn't give it to the son on the first day with das, you know, to totally give it to them, because you're not going to get it back. And if you still need lachem, let's say the second day, if you're in chutz laretz, then you're not going to have lachem, because it's his. He can't give it back to you. So Seth asks the Ksos, what's going on here by Shkolim? By Shkolim, at least according to some sheet, it says, a katan, even if he's not chayiv, we accept it from him. We accept it from him? This is for the carbon sibur. A carbon sibur has to be totally, everybody who gives to the carbon sibur has to have in mind to totally give it to the carbon sibur. So how could a katan, is there still a katan's money in here? So it's not going to have the full status of a carbon sibur. So says the Ksos, haraya, that if Chazal say there's a kinyan derabanan, it can even have effects on a daraisa level. This is the Ksos has a big discussion of this in Siman Reish Lamed Hey, he brings 10 rayas. This is one of the rayas. One of the rayas from this Mishnah in Shkolim that says that a katan can give machzas a shekel even though he's not obligated. How is that possible? A katan cannot be machnemi daraisa, haraya, even by a kinyan derabanan, it can have daraisa effects. There are many kinyanim derabanan. Kinyan dalaramis is a kinyan derabanan. Kinyan chalipin is learned that from a pasuk in Rus. So there are kinyanim derabanan. Says the Ksos, kinyanim derabanan can work on a daraisa level. This is one of the rayas. Other achronim, the Shar HaMelech says, maybe it's just going with bittel. Bittel barov, most of the shkalim are not from Tanim. It's just working with bittel. Either way, this is a discussion in the achronim on this line. Okay, now we continue. Two dots. Hanachri, yes. Yeah. Shtei Sairis for the Ktanim. Well, the Isha and the Eved are older. So meaning the two lines, whether you Toveya them or not. Yeah. Are there different levels? The Gemara is only asked about the Ktanim issue. You're right. So you have the same question with the Isha, are when are we Toveya, when are we Mashkin? I guess the Gemara wasn't bothered by that problem. Okay, we have to work it out. It's a good question. Okay, let's continue. Hanachri v'hakusi v'chulu Amrebi ba Tipater kemanda amrakusi kenachri. This Mishnah seems to treat a kusi like a nachri, like a non-Jew, meaning assuming the kusim were not really true converts. Because you see in the Mishnah groups them together. The ispalgin, because there's really a machlokas about this. Kusi kenachri divrei Rebbe, Rebbe Shimon Gamliel omer kusi ki yisrael l'chol davar. So it's really a machlokas. So says Rebbe ba, the Mishnah seems to be taking a stand that a kusi is like a non-Jew. Omer Rebbe Lezer, as in Yerushalmi, the aleph is left off. So even some Rav Shechter sometimes says Rav Leizer, right? Some Europeans sometimes they leave out the Aleph, they say it like the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Eliezer, Rav Leizer, the Aleph is left off. Masnisa, no, Rav Leizer says that no, there's no raya from our Mishnah that you always treat a kusi like a non-Jew, because maybe Masnisa benachrim habakusim lo. Yes, the first, it says kusim in the Mishnah. You can't get out of part of the Mishnah referring to kusim. The first line of the Mishnah says that you don't accept shkolim from them. So that, of course, applies to kusim and nachrim. But what about the rest of the Mishnah? Accepting karbanas from them. So that only applies to nachrim, says Rabbi Lazar. We do accept from kusim. V'tani, and after all, we have a brisa, including them. Ben Adam, Tani Cain. Adam, Larabos, is a gerim. The word Adam includes gerim. meaning a kusim are real gerim. Mikem lahoti es amumrim. And the word mikem, only from you, to exclude heretics. We don't accept karbanos from heretics. We'll get back to the line in a minute. Let's just finish first. So the Gemara says, one second, Masisim pligir abalazar, where Belazar says the whole rest of the Mishnah after the first line is only about nachrim, not about kusim. Look at the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Ein makabel me adam kani zavim vezavos kini yoldos. We don't accept these karbanos of a zav and a zava from non-Jews. V'chi yesh kani zavim vezavos benachrim. There's no tumantara by Gayim. There's no zav. There's no zava. There's no, the halachas don't apply by, so what, that line can't be referring to Gayim. It has to be referring to kusim. So says the Gemara, Al Reisha Benachar Vaseva Bakusim. So what, Rabbi Lazar, you're going to tell me the first line about accepting Shkalim, that's about both. The second line is about only Kusim. The third line is only about Nachrim. You're going to say that each line of the Mishnah is referring to a different group of people? Says the Gemara, yeah. Kainu, Reisha Benachar Vaseva Bakusim. Gemara says, it's not so bad. It's okay that the first part, different lines, could be referred to different people. So interesting, the Gemara says here that Adam l'rabos as hagerim. This reminds me of a Gemara in Baba Kama. Gemara in Baba Kama says that, talking about, says, afilu nachri sheyoshev va'osik batorah shehu kakohen gadol. A nachri who's sitting in osik batorah is like a kohen gadol. Asher yasa osa ha'adam v'chai bahem. The Gemara says, kohanim levim l'yishvim lo nemer ela Adam. Halamata shafilu nachri va'osik batorah hara yu kakohen gadol. In other words, the Anandru gets schar, issue about teaching Talmud Torah to non-Jews, not our issue now. At least it's a Gemara here that learns that from the Pasuk Ha'adam. The Pasuk says, Asher Asher Chai Yasa Osam Ha'adam Achai Bahem, that a non-Jew learning Torah is a wonderful thing. Asks Tosvos, but we know, Tema, this is Abu Bakam Alam Ches, Ha'ein Obdei Chachavim Kurim Adam. What do you mean? Obdei Chachavim are not called Adam. We learn that Adam Kiyamis Ba'ohel, and that's the marker that a non-Jew is not Metame Ba'ohel. If you're going next to a cemetery of your Kohen, the tree's hanging over, it's a non-Jewish cemetery, you don't have to worry about Tumas Ohel. Why is a Kohen allowed to go into a hospital that's not specifically for Jews? Because non-Jews are not Metame Ba'ohel. Learn that from Adam. Atem Kriyam Adam, Ve'ein Anachrim Kriyam Adam. So, what's the difference? So, ask the Gemara Sira. Here it says, Shayasa Osa Ha'adam, so the non-Jew is included, and then the other Adam Kemis Ba'o is not included. Says Rabbeinu Tam, without explaining, Rabbeinu Tam, Afarish, Diyesh Chilik Bein Adam La Ha'adam. Ha'adam, the Adam, that's anybody, that's even including non-Jews. But Adam, plain, that's Jews. Adam Kemis Ba'o. Okay, that's what Rabbeinu Tam says. Is there any Svara? Is there any Adam Ha'adam? So Rav Soloveitchik says Al Derech Drash. It's quoted in one of the Beis Yitzchaks. He says Al Derech Drash. So Rav Shachter writes Al Derech Drash. De etzleinu ish chashivus l'kol Yehudi prati. De afilu einenu tzadik olamdin elo pashut shevipshutim gam ken ish l'gab av chovash akavad abriyas. Every single Jew has chashivus. Every single Jew has kavad abriyas. Adam, that means Jew. That means every single Jew, every pashut shev pshutim, masha'enkin etzol nachrim, heina man ina ma'arichim es pshutei ha'am, etz adaka ha'chashuvim biyoter, haynu ha'adam, behei ha'yediya, adam ha'miyuchad ha'mefursam, the kavod abriyas for other religions, they give kavod to ha'adam, the people, the chashuvim, but stam, the pashut shev pshutim, says that wouldn't apply. He said the Rav always liked to quote the Mashal of Tosfos and Nazir, where the Tosfos says, if you have let's say you have the Kohen Gadol who's on his way to the Beis HaMikdash, and on Yom Kippur, let's say he was involved near the Beis HaMikdash, he went out for a minute, he's on his way, he was just Tovel in the Mikvah, he's ready to do everything to get the Kapara for Klal Yisrael, he's on his way, and all of a sudden he sees a Meis Mitzvah on the floor. What's the halacha? He's Matami himself of the Meis Mitzvah. He's buried the Meis Mitzvah. Who is this Meis Mitzvah? He has no relatives. Obviously, nobody's burying him. He's an anonymous corpse. Nobody's burying him. He's the lowest level of society. And the Kohen Gadol is about to get Kapar of a Klal Yisrael. He goes and he's Matami himself. Adam Kiyamas Ba'ohel. Adam. We believe in Adam. So here too. Adam L'Rabos is a Gerim. Once somebody is Jewish, he's considered an Adam. Not Ha'adam. Adam. That's Rabbeinu Tam's Chiluk of Ha'adam. Yish L'Chalik Ben Adam L'Ha'adam. And that's the Rav's shot, Al Derech Drash, of what's the difference between them. But here, the Gemara says, Adam l'rabo says hageiru. So that's, could be what's behind it. Am Rav Yochanan. Vayter. B'tchila in makabal mehen, lo davar mesuyam, lo davar she'enim mesuyam. Originally, we do not accept from Nachrim, b'tchila. B'tchila means when we're building the Beis HaMikdash. We do not accept lo davar mesuyam, nothing specific, v'lo davar she'enim mesuyam, and anything that's non-specific. What is Dabar Misuyamin, we'll talk about exactly what it is in a minute. Let's just finish the line. Ubasof, but at the end means, according to many Mefarshim, Tiklin Chadatin here, during the upkeep. The upkeep, once the base of Mikdash is built, so then we have a little more flexibility. We accept from them something that is non-descript. We do not accept something from them that is descript. So at the beginning we accept nothing, building, but once it's there we accept something that's Einu Mesuyam. What does Davar Mesuyam mean? So the Tiklin Chadatin here quotes the Rashi in Erechin, who quotes, it means something that is obvious, something that everybody's going to see. And everybody's going to know, oh, that Nachri donated that piece to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what's not acceptable ever. The only thing, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that we accept is for the upkeep of Davar She'einu Mesuyam. For example, he quotes Kalya Orev. They had these spikes on top of the Beis HaMikdash that the birds wouldn't fly over there and dirty it. So the birds would stay away. So let's say he wants to, everybody sees these spikes. They're on top of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's something that's nikar, that's obvious. That's Davar Mesuyam. That's what we don't accept because he says it's a Ganai. It's a Ganayu, and they'll walk and say, hey, we donated that. So look at us. We gave to the Beis HaMikdash. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam Shita is Davar Mesuyam means anything that you're going to use the item itself. A board, a stone. We only accept cash. If you want to give cash, that's fine. We'll exchange it. But a davar mesuyam, according to the Rambam, is anything specifically that would use the object. It doesn't have to do with gnai, seeing from the outside. It has to do with, based on the pasuk he quotes, that was quoted in the Mishnah. Lo lachem alonu, lo lachem space alokeinu. So it has to be anything. If it's changed over, if it's cash, then it'll be okay. Yeah. Last days of Sukkot is we bring karbanis keneged the 70 nations.
Right, so
that's nothing from them. There is a purpose for every umma in the world, and that's what we are bringing. We are bringing karbanis for them, but it's not. They could bring karban olos, but we don't accept anything for our Beis HaMikdash from them. Okay, says the Gemara. So that is the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. That Betchila, originally we don't accept anything, and Basov, as we're building it, that we accept a Davar She'einu Mesuyam. By the way, we'll get to the Rambam that has a different shot of Betchila and Basov. I'll mention it afterwards. Rish Lakish says, no, different shot. Bein Betchila, Bein Basov, in Mekal Mehen, Lo Davar Mesuyam, Lo Davar She'einu Mesuyam. Rish Lakish says, we never accept anything from them. Period. Not even in the upkeep, a Davar She'einu Mesuyam. Says the Gemara, Masi simply get Rabbi Yochanan. A Brisa seems to be against Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because the Brisa says, Ein Mekablin Mehen Hekdish V'Nedava Lebedek Habayis. It says, we don't accept from them Hekdish and Nedava for Bedek Habayis. So this seems to be against Rabbi Yochanan because it doesn't make any chilukim. It's just that we don't accept, period. So the Gemara says, no, there are two answers. Either Pater Law, Bein Betchila, Bein Basov, Ubovat Davar Mesuyam. Maybe the Brisa is referring to a Davar Mesuyam, something descript, so Rabbi Yochanan rejects that always. Or Pater Law, skip the gears to change here, is change the word Bein Mesuyam to Betchila, or maybe it's talking about Betchila building the base of Mekdash at the beginning. Shafila Mosav Yelichim Liyavamelch. Even if you give cash, Rabbi Yochanan holds, even if it's Davar She'einu Mesuyam, if it's to build it in the first place, we don't accept it. So two answers how Rabbi Yochanan works out that Brisa. Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish Amar, Rish Lakish had said, "Beim tchilah beim asof, im mekalal handle davar mesuyam b'chulov." So now, Masisa pligar Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Now we're going to ask a kasha on Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish had said that you don't accept anything. So the Gemara asks the Tani. The Brisa says, "This is a Mishnah actually." Hakol shavin shehin nozrim vini darim. Everybody agrees. The Mishnah Erechin says that non-Jews are allowed to be noder, to be noder something to the base of Migdash vini darim, and are able to be used as a neder. We'll get to what that means in a minute. So, but don't you see from there that we do accept things from them? They can be no there. Doesn't that mean to the Bedek Habayis? So it's against Reish Lakish, who says they can never give to the Bedek Habayis. So Gemara says, Padala Ola. No, it doesn't mean Bedek Habayis. It means for a Karban Ola. They can be no there a Karban Ola. So Gemara says, Nicha Nodrin. So fine, that explains the word Nodrin. They could promise and vow to give for a Karban Ola. Nodrin Ola. Nidarin Ola? Question mark. What do you mean Nidar? What do you mean? How could they be used, Nidarin, for a Karban Ola? So Gemara says this is the case, by that's meant by Nidarin. Ella, different girsos here, let's just read our girsos first. Kisha Amar Yisrael Harei Alai Ola. When a Jew says, I owe an Ola, Vishama Nachri, and a Nachri hears, Va'amar, Masha Amar Ze Alai. I agree with him. So that's a case, that's what's being referred to by Nidarin. But the Tikkun Chazin here quotes a different girsos, which fits in better to the words, and that is, no. A non-Jew says, I'm no der a carbon ola, and then a Jew says, I agree with him. That's a case where a Jew is using the non-Jew's proclamations. That's why it fits in a little better to the word, to the words nidarin. Okay, but that's what, but they're both around carbon ola. That's how Rish Lakish would learn this price. Ask the Gemara again, rhetorical question, ve'eno maybe imo nesachim. When a non-Jew brings his carbon ola, he has to bring nesachim, wine libations that go with the ola. Every carbon ola has nesachim with it. So isn't that true? And what happens to the leftover nesachim? Umosa nesachim lo do klishari sinun? Aren't they used for klisharis, buying new kalim? So it comes out indirectly that a non-Jew is supplying for the bedek habayis. Kasha on Reish Lakish. Nimsa davar shein, nimsa maybe davar mesuyam. That's even a davar mesuyam. He's going to bring the wine. So the Gemara says, Hesiv, Rav Yossi bar Rebbe bone, v'hotanin erachad v'arachin, I'll ask you a better kasha. And we're going to have the same answer to, he says, you think that's a problem? The line of Nesachim, a better kasha. The Mishnah says, ne'erachin v'arachin. You're allowed to, as we had in yesterday's parsha, you're allowed to give the value of a non-Jew, or don't, like, ne'erachin, they are ne'erach, they have value, v'arachin, excuse me, they can give values. So lo lebedek habayis, and where does all that money go? Of erachin. It goes to bedek habayis, it goes to the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. So again, so what? So a Reish Lakish, how do you interpret this? It's Pesukim in the Torah. It's a Mishnah. So what's the answer to the Nesachim problem and this problem? What are you going to answer? How do you answer that? That really, he has in mind that it should be used for a carbon, but it can never be used for a carbon. So we're going to use it, Memela, for Bedek HaBayis. But he didn't have that in mind. According to Reish Lakish, the only problem is if the guy, if the Nachri, wants to use this and gives this for Bedek HaBayis, then we can't accept it. But if he wants to use it for a carbon, and we don't, so then we're using it for a different purpose. It wasn't directly given to the upkeep by him. That's not a problem according to Reish Lakish. So that's what you say, how you answer the problem of Ne'erachin Ba'arachin. So too, Kenat Amar Avhacha, L'shamayim U'miskabein, U'me'alein Heimbo'an L'Bedek HaBayis. So that's why here too, as long as it's indirect, it is okay. The only thing that Reish Lakish does not allow is if he gives it beferish for Bedek HaBayis. Skip the next three words. Ma'avela, Rishem Malakish Patala, what's the Reish Lakish's makar? Based on the Pasik, Lolochem Velanu, Livnos, Bayis, Lelokenu. Period. I mentioned before that the Rambam has a different pirish on what Tchila and Sof is. If you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, the Rambam quotes, he passes like Rabbi Yochanan, but look what he quotes. Goy Shehis Nadiv Lebeda Kabayis, Ein Makablin Mimenu Tchila. Vim Lachu Mimenu, Ein Machzirin Lo. What does Tchila and Sof mean for the Rambam? L'chadchila and b'di'evet. L'chadchila and b'di'evet. You don't, the Tchila means you don't accept it originally. Once you have it, you don't have to give it back to him. That's what Tchila and Sof means for the Rambam. So against most of the Mefarshim on the page, the Karbon Eidah, the Tiklan Chazatin, they all say, based on other Rishonim, that it means building and upkeep. But that's the Rambam has that different pshat. Vaita, Reb Chizkiya, Amar of Simon, Sha'al, he asked, and the Tiklan Chazatin says, remember what I wrote, what Sha'al means on that base. And what Shaul meant, we mentioned it on the first day, Shaul means that a person who knows his Shita, he believes in what he believes in, but he just wants to go to the base of Medrash to see if anybody else agrees with him. But he's not really asking. In Yerushalmi, Shaul means, you know, anybody agree with me? So Shaul, me'ata, hey Reish Lakish, according to you, you can't accept anything from them? So then it must be, ein makabel mehen la'amas hamayim, ulechomo sa'ir, u'migdala seho al-shem. You can't accept money for them to help for the Amas Hamayim, which was the pipeline that went through the Beis HaMikdash, which was used to help wash things in the Beis HaMikdash, or the Chomos, or for the walls of the city, and we can say, or the towers, because it says, V'lachem, Shenemar, V'lachem, Ein Chelik V'cholo. Right? You can't have any portion. So the answer is in the Chanami. That's what, according to Reish Lakish, that would be his Shita, that we wouldn't accept anything from the Nachrim for any upkeep, even for Bedek HaBayis. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we would accept it as long as it's not Mesuya. Okay, we'll read the next four lines, but we take out the girsa. The Tiklan Chazan takes out the girsa, but we'll just go read it. Elochayim makelbon, Tani, Elochayim makelbon, Echad, Remeir Omer, Shnei Kelbonus, Basisar, de Rabbi Meir, de Amar Rabbi Meir, Avabishin, Shikla Torah, Kelbono Torah, Ksaba Rabbi Meir, Bimish, Shekla Shalim, Shubada Mikelbon, Meakelbon, de Amar. Okay, end of parentheses. Right, so we take out that girsa in the Tiklan Chazan, and now we go back to speaking about the kelbon of the Mishnah. So remember the kelbon of the Mishnah? We mentioned that it's a machlokas tana'im that you have to add on this extra little piece to the payment of the machzah shekel. It's machlokas why that is. So first the Gemara is going to discuss the shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that the kelbon is a din de oraisa, that you always have to add on a little bit of extra payment. Masnisa, the Rabbi Meir, what's the reason of Rabbi Meir? The Amr Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir holds, Kishem Sheshiklo Torah, just like giving the actual Machzis HaShekel is a din to Oraisa, Kach Kalbano Torah, so too the Kelbone that you give is a din to Oraisa. Kasavar, why? What's the svar for Rabbi Meir? Ksavar Rabbi Meir, Benosein Shiklo Shalem, when you give a whole shekel for two people, I mean, Shiklo Shalem means you give a sela, which means two shkolim in the worth in the time of the Gemara, mean two machzah shekels from the Torah, just means two people getting together, giving one coin to fulfill their payment, but that's the Shiklo Shalem, Shuchayiv, this should say, Beis Kelbone. Right, you give two kalbonos for each person. If you give two people combined and giving one coin, you have to have two kalbonos. What's the source for Rabbi Meir that it's a din to Oraisa? D'yam Rabbi Meir, the following. We know this from Rashi and Pashas Kisisa. We think we don't know any Yerushalmi. We know this Yerushalmi from Rashi and Kisisa. Kimin matbeya shel eish, hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitachas kisei kavodo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a coin of fire from under his kisei hakavod, veher eyu lemoshe, and he showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu. Va'amar lo, ze yitnu, because ze yitnu, it says in the pasuk, ze, the Chazal always say, means showing. Ze always means showing visually. So says the Gemara, ze yitnu, kaze yitnu. You have to give exactly this. What does exactly this mean? So the Tiklan Chazan says exactly this means it has to be pure. It can't be devalued at all. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe. And therefore, later on in history, when coins are devalued, that's why we always have to add on a little extra. But it's based on the Din D'Oraisa, says Rabbi Meir. Or the Karbana Eda says it has to be pure from any impurities. And coins always have impurities. So Hashem is saying, Zayid, you have to give this amount, so you always have to add on a little bit. That is the source for Rabbi Meir's Din D'Oraisa of requiring a kelbo. There is a discussion, Tosvos in Menachos. The Gemara in Menachos says that there were three things that Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty understanding, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show him. Three things. Gemara in Menachos, Chaf Tesav and Aleph. Shlosh Advarim HaYikashu Lo LaMoshe, Asher Herol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Betzbo. The Menorah, right? Zem Maisa Menorah, Rosh Chodesh, HaKadosh Zeh Lachem, and Shrasim. Zeh Lachem HaTameh. So ask Tosfos there, what about our case? Zeh Yitnu. Zeh Yitnu. So Tosfos there says, no, here it's even worse. The Gemara is talking about a case where you had a general idea, you just couldn't do it. Here we had no asaga. What kind of coin? I have no idea. So that's why it's not in that grouping. The Shita Mekubetzes, though, here quotes, and Tosfos and Chulin says it's beferish. No, the pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't fathom, and this a lot of the Mepharshim on Kisisa talk about, couldn't fathom how a little coin could bring kapara to all of Klal Yisrael. Unbelievable. How is that possible? Give a Machzor Shekel a kapara? So Kodesh Baruch Hu took it from Itachas Kisei HaKavod. And he showed him. He says, so it wasn't like the other three. He didn't know how to make it. That's that grouping. But here he couldn't understand it. He couldn't understand that it's Koach. So that's why he brought it from under Itachas Kisei HaKavod, the Koach of Tshuva, Kodesh Baruch Hu's Choter tunnel on the Kisei HaKavod, related to that. But again, look at the Mepharshim, the beginning of Kisisa, a lot of them talk about this Medrash, about what the connection is. But now we know the real context. It's about Kelbone. It's about Rameyer's Din D'Oraisa of requiring Kelbone. Okay, Rashi doesn't quote that part of it. He just quotes the Agada part of it, without getting into the details. Okay, so this is Shitas Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah continued and said, Nosan Sela Litol Shekel Chayiv Beis Kalbonos. If somebody gives, let's call it $1, and gets back 50 cents, because he only has to give 50 cents for the Machzor Shekel, he's Chayiv 2 Kalbonos. Who is that according to? That line of the Mishnah. Is that according to Rabbi Meir? Or is that according to the Rabbanan, who we said, hold, Kalbonos is a Dinder Rabbanan? It's a money changer's fee that you have to pay along with it, even though you're not using a money changer. So it's a machlokas, who, if this is only Rabbi Meir, or it's even according to the Chachamim. Amr, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Lazar says, no, this is Rabbi Meir Shita. Rabbi Meir, Amar, Echad Shekel Shehu Nosein, Ve'echad, change the girsa, Ledivrei Torah. That's what it should say instead of the next three words. That means Rabbi Meir also holds of this money changer's fee type of idea. But he just has an extra Din D'Oraisa. So when you give the dollar and you give back 50 cents, you actually did a change, so you have to give one kelbone for that, but then he also says you have to give another kelbone for the Din D'Oraisa. So the Mishnah, what it says, no sin selav and no tel shekel, chayef two, that is Shita's Rabbi Meir. Let's just finish for a second. The Tanya, as the Braisa says, Eilu chayevim a kelbon, the following people are chayevim kelbon, and the chulu is this exact case, you give a seller, you get back a shekel, kelbon echad, the Tanakhama says only one kelbon you're chayev, Rebbeir Omer Beis Kelbonos, that is the Shita of Rebbe Lazar, that line of the Mishnah is only going according to Rebbe Meir. Umar Rav, That means Amar Rav. Rav argues Divrei Akolhi. Really, this is even according to the Chachamim. Even according to what we hold, that Kelbon is a Dinder Rabbanon. In this case, you'd have to give two Kelbonos. Why? Skip the next three words. Dabri Meir. Really, this is the Rabbanon. Echad Shekel Shehu No Sein, the Echad Shekel Shehu No Tel. And take out the next three words. Period. And that is, according to the Rabbanon, and this is the Chiddush of Rav, this type of transaction is split into two. When you give a dollar and you get back 50 cents, it's really, there's two transactions going on here. If you look in the Tikkun Chatan, he explains there's two chilufim. There's one going on that you're giving a machzis shekel. By giving this dollar, you're giving a machzis shekel. That's one half that's going on. And when he gives you back half, that's another money-changing type of transaction. So if you split the two, the Tanakama holds, you have to give a kelbon for each one. For the giving and for the taking. That's why you have to give two kelbonos. And let's just finish. Old daiti de Rav, gimel kelbonos inun. And according to Rav, Rabbi Meir would say you have to give three kelbonos, because it's the split transactions, the two kelbonos for the two split transactions, plus the extra din d'oraisa that you have to add on a kelbon. Also, Rabbi Meir, Yirmiya, Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Rav Yitzchak, B'shem Rav, Shlosh HaKalbonos Inun. Yeah, according to Rameh, there are three Kalbonos. Echad Shekel Shehu No Sein, Echad Shekel Shehu No Tel, V'Echad L'Divrei Torah. You split the transaction, therefore there's one money-changing activity in each direction, plus Rameh says there's a third Kalbon having to be given. Just what came out of the last five lines of the Gemara? It's a Machlokes in the Gemara. That one line of the Mishnah, is it only according to Rameh Meir, or is it even according to the Chachamim? Yeah, Alex. The according to the Chachamim, when you give, let's say, a whole shekel to get back for two people, or to get back a matzah shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, there's no money changing going on. But it's just the fee. Chazal said that just like if you would go to a money changer, you'd have to pay a fee. So too, when you give this to the Beis HaMikdash, even though you're not going to get any change, let's say it's two people teaming up and giving a dollar, still you add on the extra kelbon in lieu of a money changing fee.
Kelbon was going to the Beis HaMikdash.
Yes, going to the Beis HaMikdash.
And what about the
chutzlars? In chutzlars, you have to in a chinami, same thing.
So they
would add on. According to Rimeir, every single person has to add on because it's a din d'oraisa. But according to the chachamim, no, you only have to add on if you're doing something that would normally require money changer. Yeah.
So, according to Rimeir, there's really two kinds of kelbonos. One is to make sure that it's an actual
maksa shekel.
The other is
exactly. According to Rimeir, there are two kinds of kelbonos. There's the din d'oraisa kelbon and there's the din d'rabanan kelbon in a chinami. Okay, let's go two more minutes. We have now the last line of the Mishnah had said that there's an inverse relationship when you have brothers that are partners. There's an inverse relationship between when they're chayiv in kelbon and when they're chayiv in ma'aser behema. So just two rules, and then these next lines will be easy. You're only chayiv in kelbon when you're paying for yourself. If you're paying for somebody else, you're not chayiv in kelbon. That's what the Mishnah had said. That's rule number one. Rule number two is shutfin or putter from ma'aser behema. Real partners. That's a rule based on a pasuk by Meister Behema. Based on a pasuk. So partners are potter from paying Meister Behema. So says the Gemara. Ha'achanashu tafin shachayevin bekelbon paturim Meister Behema. The line of the Mishnah that says brothers that are partners that have to pay kelbon and that are potter from Meister Behema. What's that line referring to? B'shachilku v'chazav v'nishtafu. That means they got the Yerusha. They split it up amongst them. So now they're separate people. And now they got back together as partners. So now they're partners. Hey, so if you're partners, you're potter from Meiser Behema, and you're chayiv and kelbon because they're each giving for their own machzis shekel. That's how it's an inverse relationship between when they split it up and they came back together. Shachayavin b'meiser behema upatermina kelbon. What does the Mishnah mean? What's the case when they're chayiv and Meiser Behema and they don't have to give kelbon? B'shalo chilku. If they just have the assets, they didn't split up the estate yet. So now they're going to give machzis shekel from that estate. So explains the Rav Bar Tanura. When they give machzis shekel, it's as if their father is kind of giving for them. Because they didn't split up the property yet. It's his assets. So that's why they're potter from kelbon. Because it's as if the father is giving for the sons. Giving for somebody else, you always potter from kelbon. But Meister Behema, they're not partners. They're not partners. So if you have animals in that group, so then you have to give... You have to give Meiser from that because you're not partners. Amar Belazer. Now there's one more machlokas, and then we'll finish. Amar Belazer. This whole thing only applies if they really split up the Yerusha. The Hain Shechilko Gediyim Keneged Tiyashim Tiyashim Keneged Gediyim. If one son takes some animals, another son takes different kinds of animals. You take the goats, you take the rams, and then that's considered a split. And when they come back together, they're called partners. But if they each split up every single asset within itself, they split up in the goats, and they split up in the rams, they split up in that, so then says Rabbi Elazar, who chelko mishar harishona. That's not considered a real splitting, because the Tikkun Chazan quotes this, this is the issue of Breira. And that is something that we discussed a number of times in Maseches Eruvin, and that is, sometimes, halacha, once a future event happens, we throw its effects back to the past. We say it really happened l'mafreya in the past. So says Rabbi Elazar, if they split up exactly every single asset in the estate, so once they get their portion, we say, you know what? This is the portion that was always supposed to be theirs. That's called Breira. And therefore, when they come back together, it's as if nothing was really split up. So that's why, says Rabbi Elazar, the rules of splitting up and then coming back together wouldn't apply if they split within each asset. And says Rabbi Yochanan, no. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, afilu chalka gediyim, kedega gediyim, betyashim, kedega tyashim, kilkulakuko sein, betrimin amayser. Not true. If they split it up, they split it up. You don't say Breira. It's a major machlokas, whether you hold a Breira or not. You don't say Breira. Even if they split, once they split it up, they're like buyers, meaning they're like separate people, and when they come back, they're real partners, and they're part of a meister. Kahit tanina, as it says in the Mishnah, taman there, halakuach, if you are buyers, v'shenitin lo b'matana, or it's given to you as a present, pater mi meister behema. So you're part of a meister behema, if you're really a lakuach, you're really considered a partner. Okay, we'll stop here. Today's shiur, and is there a sponsor for this week? No, not yet. Okay. 1 second, somebody's calling me. Hello? Yeah.